Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and only one thing up for review this week, it is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the latest sci-fi ape-led epic in this series. This week, I've got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is the latest film in the latest iteration of the Planet of the Apes saga. You know, we've had a few versions of the series over the years, but this is the one that continues with the story of Andy Serkis was playing him, the Caesar character that we saw however many years ago at this point. It's been quite a while. And to that point, if you asked me to describe the plot of any of the prior films in this particular saga, I don't think I could remember them. I know there's a lot about apes versus humans, and, you know, this takes place in a world where the apes have gained intelligence and humans have regressed aggressively, and so it's a societal shift. But if you ask me for specific plot points, I got nothing. Which I guess you don't really need in this film, because it does kind of walk you through it. So in that sense, it is sort of a standalone. You know, they give you enough crumbs of the world building that you don't need to have freshly seen any of the other films, but in the same way, it's also kind of a brand new set of characters. So your runoff investment from the previous films might be a little bit lower. And this is not hopefully a huge spoiler, because the main character in the last few films was Caesar. And I know that this film was written and went into production before the memes about men thinking about the Roman Empire came into play, but man, oh man, this is basically apes thinking about the Roman Empire, the film, which is hilarious and wild. And I don't know. I assume other people are picking up on this connection, but it is funny. And again, I know it was set up from early on because you named your main protagonist Caesar. And so there are implications. And obviously, it's called Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, or I guess, Empire of the Planet Apes. There's your sequel, Empire of the Planet Apes. Anyway, so we are following a new set of apes. These are very impressively done CG apes. You know, as somebody who comes from a visual effects background, though, I kept watching it being like, okay, this is the moment where Weta Workshop, who is known for doing the majority, I think, of the VFX on this, is just showing off. And I was like, oh, that's where you're going for your VFX Oscar in this shot. Does it enhance the story? Debatable. So there is a fair amount of pageantry to some of this. Also, my biggest comment about this film, I think, is that the runtime is a little bloated. It's about 2 hours and 25 minutes. It did not need to be that long. I think the story they needed to tell was probably about 2 hours long. Again, like I said, this is a new set of apes. So in terms of names, I don't know if any of the names attached to it, not to discredit them, but it's not like blockbuster headliners, in part because you don't see a lot of them because they're playing apes and they've been animated over. But you've got Owen Teague as Noah, who is the kind of new protagonist ape. You've got Kevin Durand as Proximus Caesar, and I'm going to let you go ahead and guess who that is. William H. Macy is in this. Peter Macon, Eka Darville, Travis Jeffrey. Freya Allen does play one of our few humans, hopefully not a huge spoiler because that is in the trailers. And it's basically about these apes navigating the sort of power vacuum that exists once Caesar is gone. I had a lot of questions about the time scale of this because it's clearly set in the future after Caesar has passed. Again, that is a mild spoiler for the franchise, but it's also in the very beginning of the film. So, I'm hoping that helps inform your vision of this. The action in this is impressive, but like I said, I think there are a lot of times, and this is a similar criticism I had to something like The Fall Guy, where you get a little self-indulgent and you're showing off because you know what you're really good at doing, right? It's the ape action, it's the anthropomorphization of these apes and their emoting, but like keeping in mind that they're CG, which is really impressive. You know, it's the voice performances, it's all of this combined. But there are times where I'm like, if you just shaved some of this down and really just told the core of the story you're trying to tell, which is about what happens to society when a unifying leader is gone, I think it would have been a cleaner, more compelling story. And not that I was particularly enamored of the Caesar character before, but because we are starting fresh and, you know, with no investment in these characters, and because they are kind of dragging things along in other places, I think it is not as emotionally compelling necessarily as the prior films are. In scope, it is a larger, more action-packed film for sure. But I think the thing that makes this latest series of reboots so successful, or did make them so successful, is that there was a really good emotional storytelling investment. And so I think while this is, it's totally watchable, you know, I saw an IMAX, big, impressive cinematography, action, the score, you know, all that stuff, it's there. But what was missing for me was like the closeness and the heart. And there are definitely some funny moments. There are some intense moments, but I felt like, much like it must have been very hard, slash it was very hard to fill the shoes or sandals of Julius Caesar, it's very hard to fill the shoes of the previous entries into this franchise. And, you know, I will note there is a director handoff for this one. Wes Ball directed it. I think he does a good job. He's known for The Maze Runner and some of the sequels to that. And the screenwriter has stayed similar. So I think maybe it was time to let the franchise go in the ending of the Caesar story, but they were so desperate, because these do very well, that they were like, oh, we must continue on. And I think that made some of the elements feel a little bit forced. Again, I had a decent time at it. I think there are some ridiculous absurdities in it that I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I know it's sci-fi and I love sci-fi, and that's part of the reason I was like, that doesn't make sense. This, the logic here is flawed. But if you're willing to suspend that disbelief, if you love a good action film, you know, I gotta say, I enjoyed this 1,000 times more than Godzilla vs. Kong, The New Empire, which was trying to be Planet of the Apes, slash very similar to this. So clearly there's something in the water, in the air, in the apes, I don't know, that is calling to people who are writing films like this. But overall, I think it's decent. If you are interested in seeing it and you loved the other ones, I would just caution you to maybe temper your expectations. If you were not interested in the prior ones, this is certainly not going to be the one that converts you over. And like I said, you don't have to really have refreshed yourself on the last ones in order for this one to make sense. So for me, I'm going to give it a 3.8 out of 5. Like I said, I think a lot of the elements are really impressive, especially with the craftsmanship, but it got in its own way, I think, trying to live up to this legacy and also show off potentially at the expense of character development. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.